ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम सदा शिव समारंभां शंकराचार्य मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ही So we were in the from 32nd verse onwards till the 39th verse to the 32nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th. 8 verses deal with Nididhyasanam, which means they reveal the nature of Brahman. And then we see that Swarup, Brahma Swarupam as one's own self. You see the reality as your own Swarupam. What is reality? Reality of the universe is one's own real nature. That is what we've been seeing. And we have come to the 37th verse. Nitya Shuddha Vimukta Ekam Akhanda Anandam Advayam Satyam Jnanam Anantam Yat Param Brahma Ahameva Tat. So the 35th verse, we have seen the each word is a defining word which reveals Brahman, nature of reality, and one's own Swarupam. And that, so we said Akashavat Sarvam Bahihi Antaha Antargataha Achyutaha. Just as there is no inside outside for the space, even though the space is all pervasive and all those things exist in the space, there is nothing just outside of space. Whereas the things have outside and inside, whereas the space has no inside and outside. Similarly, the Brahman, the Atma, the reality which is obtaining as one's own Swarupam, outside and inside. And therefore, being the reality, it is ever irremovable. Irremovably all-pervasive. And then which remains the same always in everything. Sada, always. Sarva Samaha, always it remains the same in everything. Siddha also means what now? Ever available. There is no fraction of second, no time, in no experience you are missing Paramatma. We have two experiences. What are they? You have Advaya Anubhava, you have Dvaita Anubhava and Advaita Anubhava. Dvaita Anubhavaha means the dual experience and non-dual experience. You already have experience of the duality and experience of the non-duality also you already have. When in waking state you have dual experience of duality, in dream state you have experience of duality, and in deep sleep state you have experience of non-duality. You have all possible experiences you already have. So in each experience, we are going to see this elaborately, very clearly in the Mandukya class, but anyway, I'll put it here. Therefore, in every experience, what is invariably present is, and what is because of whose presence the experience is possible, itself is Paramatma Brahma. Therefore, ever available, already accomplished is what? Siddhaha. And that Paramatma, Nissangaha, Nirmalaha, Achalaha. Nissangaha, even though if anything, all these, the objects of perception, all of them have their existence in the very Paramatma, very Brahman, the Chaitanya consciousness. The consciousness is not touched or tainted, polluted by any of the mithya objects. Therefore, nisangaha, nirmalaha, again it's ever pure, free from blemishes and sins and impurities, and achalaha. Achalaha again is immovable. Why it is immovable? Because it is unmoving. Why? Because it is all pervasive. And why? Because it's already secondless. If the two things are there, one thing can move the other. One thing can be moved, one thing can be the moving one. But here, the two things being not there, what is there happens to be only non-dual, secondless reality. There's a second reality other than consciousness, Brahman, Atma. Therefore, nothing is there to move it. Now, it is Achalaha. This verse we have already seen, and we are going to see the 36th verse. Nitya Shuddha Vimuktaikam. Akhandanandamadvayam. Akhandanandamadvayam.
Akhandanandamadvayam.
Jnanamanantam yat.
Satyam jnanamanantam yat.
Param brahmaham eva tat.
Param brahmaham eva tat.
See, nitya shuddha vimukta ekam. Ekam means, aham. What is the ekam? Brahma. Aham Brahma Ameva Tat Brahma Ahameva. That limitless reality, that limitless all pervasive reality, Aham Eva. I am that limitless reality. I am that limitless reality. Aham Eva Tat Brahma or Brahma Ahameva Tat. Tat Brahma Ahameva. Tat Brahma Ahameva. Or Aham Brahma Tat Brahmaiva. You can say this way, both ways. I am indeed that limitless reality. I am that limitless reality. What is the limitless reality? Nitya Shuddha Vimukta Ekam. That limitless reality. I am that limitless reality which is one Ekam. What means what? One, when you say there is nothing which is, there is only one reality and I am that only limitless reality. So ekam means only, I am that only limitless reality, ekam. And what is that only limitless reality? That is ever free, which is ever free. Vimuktam. Vimukta ekam, vimukta ekam. Vimukta means what? No, which is ever free. Mukta itself means free. Vimukta means which is free for good from all limitations ever. Vimukta ekam, which is ever free from all limitations, which is free from time limitation, which is free from object limitation, which is free from spatial limitation, which is free from all bondage of karma, which is completely free, because there is nothing which can bind the consciousness, limitless reality. What can bind consciousness? Because consciousness has no punyam, no papam, no kartutvam, no bhaktutvam, no sanchita agami paradha karmas, no sukham, dukkham, no punyam, papam, no dharma, adharma, completely free. Because all of them have their existence in Paramatma. Therefore, Vimukta Ekam means I am that limitless reality which is only reality which is ever free, Vimukta. Okay, ever free means what? It is a Shuddha. Shuddha Vimukta, which is every means ever pure. Pure means what? Ever pure means it is you know, it is ever pure, means it, that which ever unpollutable. Unpollutable means what? Nothing can bring about any limitation, any limitation to the Atma. It was ever pure. Why? Because it is Nityam. Okay, Nityam means what? Nityam implies so many things. Nityam implies eternity of the Atma. Eternity implies what? Beginninglessness and time, endlessness, change. And beginninglessness and endlessness imply what? Changelessness also. Which means, the beginninglessness implies what? No, again, causelessness. Causelessness means what? No, independence. So, the independence, causelessness, beginninglessness, endlessness, changelessness, all these words you have to use to mean eternity. So, that which is of the nature of eternity, that which is eternal. So, Nitya Shuddha Vimukta Ekam. So, Brahma Aham Tat Ahameva. I am that limitless reality which is eternal, which is ever unpollutable and which is ever free from all limitations, already free. And that is what now? Akhanda Anandam. Ekam, then Akhanda Anandam. Nitya Shuddha Vimuktaikam. Half a sentence. Next sentence word. Akhanda Anandam. Akhanda Anandam means what now? Khanda Anandam means pleasure. If Khanda Anandam means a pleasure. Pleasure means, now it is a, Koshanandaha, what we saw in Taittiriya Upanishad, Koshanandaha. Koshanandaha means what now? Which is dependent on the external object, which is dependent on the function of the mind, which is dependent on the instruments of transaction, is called Khanda Anandaha, means time-bound manifestation of pleasure, which is dependent on situations and things, is called what now? Khanda Anandaha. So it's a fraction, the fraction of fullness, the pleasure, which is dependent on external situations, which is a Kosha Ananda, which comes and goes, is called Khanda Anandaha. Whereas Akhanda Anandaha means the fullness. Fullness is called Akhanda. Fraction is called Khanda. Okay? Akhandaha is what Khanda Anandaha means, the fullness, the limitless happiness, the fullness is the very Swarupam. Akhanda Ananda means what? That which is the limitless reality, which is of the nature of fullness, is called what now? Akhanda Anandam. What is reality? Reality is fullness. You don't even say anything else. Reality and fullness are not two different things. For I am that limitless reality which is fullness. Which there is no fullness other than the reality. Therefore fullness which is of the nature of fullness. And which is eternal, unpollutable, pure, ever free, for good from all limitations. And which is of the nature of fullness. That Akhanda Anandam Advayam. Why? Because it is non-dual. First he said secondless, only secondless. Now he says Advayam. Advayam means what? Non-dual. Non-dual implies what? Secondlessness again. Non-dual. Because there is no second thing at all. How will you say that? Non-dual. Advayam. Non-dual. Why? Because you cannot say there are two things. When you say ocean is, means you are implying what? Water alone is in the form of ocean. You can't say water and the ocean are there. You can never say. Gold and ornament are there. You can never say. You can never even use that conjunct word and. Because you can say gold is in the form of ornament, you are correct. Water is in the form of ocean, you are right. You say water and the ocean are there, you are wrong. But which means you are giving countability to the ocean, which has no, which is non-substantial. Similarly, you can't say Paramatma and the universe are, the creator and the creation are, you cannot say. Paramatma and the universe are same mean, are there means you are giving value, you are adding more value to, you are giving more value or you are giving accountability to the universe which is non-substantial. A non-substantial thing is just the name and form, is non-substantial, which has no independent existence, which means the existence, it is the existence of something else is the existence of this Namarupa. Therefore, you cannot give the accountability to the universe. Therefore, you cannot say Paramatma alone is there, means it is non-dual reality. Therefore, non-dual, Nitya Shuddha Vimuktam, Nitya Shuddha Vimukta Ekam, Akhanda Anandam, Advayam. And what is that? Satyam Jnanam Anantam. And that eternal, ever pure, ever free reality, which is of the nature of fullness and which is non-dual, that reality is, what is that? Satyam, the existence. Jnanam, that existence of the universe and which is pure existence. You remove the existence of the universe, you remove the universe, what is there is pure existence. And which is the form of pure knowledge, jnanam. The reality is of the universe, which is pure existence, which is nothing but pure knowledge, the pure consciousness, jnanam. Which is what now? Anantam. Anantam means what? Free from all limitations. So, okay, anantam, among anantam, vimuktam, what is the difference? Both mean the same. Anantam and vimuktam. Vimuktam also means free from, ever free from, which means anantam. What is the difference? Anantam implies limitlessness. Anantam means limitlessness, that which is of the nature of limitlessness. So limitlessness means what? Limitlessness negates the limitations. What is absent in the Brahman, limitations are not there. Absence is revealed by Anantam. Absence of limitations is revealed by the word Anantam. Whereas Vimuktam also what now? Actually, Vimuktam also says, same thing says, ever free. Means it's free from limitations. Vimuktam distinguishes reality from other things. Anantam also distinguishes by showing the absence of limitations. So Anantam means that which is of the nature of limitlessness. Here what limitations? Vimukta means is free from bondage of karma. Vimukta. Anantam means free from other limitations. Kala desha vastu aparichinnam brahma. Free from time, space, object limitations. Satyam Jnanam Anantam. This was explained in Taittiriya Upanishad anyway. Satyam Jnanam Anantam, which means the Satyam, this word, negates all. Satyam means that which is free from, that which exists always. And that which has independent existence is Satyam. Therefore, if you see, everything in the world is what? Subject to time. And nothing in the world has independent existence. Therefore, it negates all the Namarupa Prapancha. Thereby distinguishes Brahman from everything else. And Jnana means that everything else in the world is of the nature of inertness. Nothing in the world is of the nature of knowledge. Therefore, distinguishes Brahman by negating the whole Prapancha as Jada Prapancha. Then Anantam also what now? It negates everything in the universe subject to limitations. And Brahman is something wherein limitations are not there. Therefore, that which is of the nature of limitlessness. It distinct three words. Negates the prapancha. And thereby it reveals, it distinguishes Brahman from the prapancha. Therefore, what is that Brahman? Nitya Shuddha Vimukta Ekam Akhandanandam Advayam. That reality, that non-dual, eternal, pure, ever-free, which is of the fullness reality, and that reality which is existence and pure knowledge, which is of the nature of limitlessness. We are not mechanically talking here. We are talking that reality, ahameva. If you say simply Brahma, Brahman is Satyam Jnanantam Brahma, Nitya Shuddha Vimukta Ekam Brahma, Akhandanantam Adoyam Brahma, if you say, this is Nidhyasana. That Brahman, ahameva, when you say, it becomes Nidhyasana. Because you are resolving everything else, but you are still keeping yourself away from, still you keep yourself isolated. You resolve you in it very Brahman. Tat Brahma Ahayat Param Brahma. Tat Brahma Ahameva. That which is absolute reality. I am that absolute. That absolute reality which is eternal, which is ever pure, which is ever free from bondage of karma, and which is of the nature of fullness, and which is non-dual, which is nothing but pure existence, and in the form of pure knowledge, which is of the nature of limitlessness, that limitless reality, I am. I am. I am that limitless reality. What does it mean? There is no reality other than me. It has been made very clear here. So, then, evam. Listen the next verse. By shravanam one has the jnanam, and then that jnanam can be forgettable jnanam. So we have to make it unforgettable. When you say that, you are resolving the whole prapancha in paramatma. Resolving the whole prapancha in paramatma, resolving yourself also in paramatma, which means when you resolve paramatma, you say all that is there is paramatma only means there is no mysticism involved here. What is it here? When you say pot is clay, what mysticism is involved there? What physical action is required there? No physical action is required, no activities is recorded there. All that you need is a vichara, enquiry, what this pot is. Enquiry into the nature of the pot. Understand pot is clay. And understanding is what resolving cognitively pot in the clay. It's called pravilapanam. I talked about this pravilapanam sometime back, some other class. I don't know where, when. Maybe in Kena Bhasham class. Pravilapanam means what? Resolving the pot in the clay means. You cannot resolve the pot in the clay unless you enquire into the nature of what is. What is it you see? Pot. And you enquire into the nature of the pot, you will end up where? In the clay. And once you say, oh, this pot is clay. When you say you have resolved cognitively pot in the clay. You have not removed anything, you have not done anything, you have not changed anything, you have not got any new experience. When you are experiencing the pot, you are already experiencing the clay. Only thing is you did not know that what you are experiencing in the form of pot is nothing but clay. Okay, therefore you do not experience the clay newly. So resolving the enquiry into the nature of the pot does not give you a new experience of the clay. It only helps you to resolve the pot in the clay. Thereby, it is not the new experience, it is new knowledge. Oh, I thought pot was real, clay is not. You did not know, but now I know pot is not real, pot is mithya, clay is real. This understanding, this knowledge alone is, you get newly. New knowledge you get, but not the new experience of the clay. Okay? So, this is, you resolve it. It's called pravilapanam. The pravilapanam is aham brahma. We do talk about the reality. What is the reality? The existence of the universe. What is it? Existence? Pure existence. The pure existence is what? Pure existence and pure consciousness are not two different things. And the pure existence, which is nothing but pure consciousness, is of the nature of limitlessness means, the limitlessness is what? Fullness. And fullness, consciousness, existence are not three different things actually. Existence is consciousness. Consciousness is fullness. Why? Because it being full, being pervasive, pervasiveness is its nature. Being the reality. And therefore, there is a second reality other than that, the Advayam and Ekam. Non-dual reality. Therefore, it is secondless reality. Therefore, what now? It is Akhanda Anandam. It is of the nature of fullness. And then this being the only secondless reality, it is what is beginning, causelessness. It has no cause, it has no beginning, no end, no change. It is ever pure, nothing can bring out any difficult. There was second thing must be there for something to become polluted, for something to become moved, something to become destroyed or changed. Second thing must be there. The second thing is not there means it must be ever pure and ever free also. And that reality actually speaking is actually, if you cannot say what that which is manifest as I, that which is available for experience as I, is nothing but the Paramatma. Adhav Aham Brahma Eva. And this is the knowledge you get, and this knowledge you can forget also. But for you not to forget this. So avismrita jnanam, jnana avismritihi is nishtha. Nishtha means abiding in reality. Abiding in reality means abiding in Brahman. Abiding in Brahman means what? Not that going and sitting in Brahman here. Being clear, having this unforgettable knowledge. How that now? When you say pot is clay, pot is clay, we are very clear, this is called pot abiding in Brahman. Therefore, oneself remaining abiding in Brahman means actually, what does it mean here? Pravilapanam. Pravilapanam means what? Cognitive shift. So cognitively changing one's perspective, isn't it? The change of jnanam. That's all. Correction of jnana. Correction of the error in one's perception. Through right knowledge. Not a new experience here. Therefore he says, he says, Brahmaham Bhamma Ahameva. For which you have to show Evam. In this manner, we'll do the next verse now. Evam nirantarabhyasta.
Evam nirantarabhyasta.
Brahmaivasmiti vasana.
Brahmaivasmiti vasana.
Haratya vidya vikshepan. Haratya vidya.
Haratya vidya.
Vikshepan.
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 Roganivarasayanam.
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 Okay. So what he says, evam, in this manner, nirantara abhyasta vasana. Vasana, he means, actually, samskara. You know, see, the word vasana has sometimes, you know, anything in your mind, what is in your mind, deeply in your mind is a vasana. So, nirantara's understanding is in the form of your, the understanding which has created impression in your mind, which means which has gone into your subconscious, nirantara abhyasta. When you, and this understanding, when repeatedly, nirantara means what? Continuously, constantly, with antara means gap, with continuously, constantly, you know, all the time when you dwell upon this fact, you have understood, okay, this knowledge which you have got, what is the jnanam? Aham Brahmaivasmi. Brahma eva asmi. I am that reality, I am that limitless reality, I am limitless reality, I am limitless reality, there's no, I am limitless reality, which means what? There's no, the whole propensum is reality. They were, what about me? Limitless reality. And the whole propensum is not there without me being there. Therefore, I resolve the whole propensum also in me. Therefore, everything, aham brahmasmi. I am limitless reality. There's no limitless reality other than me. Okay? Which means, you resolve the whole propensum, you resolve the body, minds, complex, resolve the entire world of objects in Paramatma, and then wherein you see yourself as being non-separate from Paramatma. Therefore, nirantara abhyasta brahma eva asmi, aham brahma asmi, aham brahma asmi, aham brahma asmi, iti vasana, nirantara abhyasta vasana, continuously, this knowledge which you have, that knowledge, if you leave it, you would forget it. But you had to continuously dwell upon that knowledge. Dwell upon that understanding of the fact. Which you, see, you have not got the knowledge simply. Only through inquiry you have got it. Therefore, there is no doubt now. You have inquired into the nature of I, and you resolve the I, thereby you could resolve the whole prapancha. Then because it's a knowledge born of inquiry, it's doubt-free inquiry, doubt-free knowledge. But it is subject to get, it can be forgotten, but you want, because of the wrong orientation, and you want to make it unforgettable jnanam, avismrita jnanam, it must be. Therefore, you repeatedly, continuously, constantly dwell upon that fact that aham brahma asmi. Such constant nididhyasanam. So constant dwelling means it can be many form. You know, you place your attention of the mind in that. Doesn't matter whether you're writing, you're reading, you're discussing, you're talking about, all the time, let the subject matter your mind is focused on is this fact. Your mind is focused on this fact. You're talking, you're writing, you're thinking, you're doing this. That is called nididhyasana. Okay. That's why you've got to sit and do it. Therefore, that is called nirantara vasana. Nirantara abhyasta vasana. Aham brahmai vasmi iti vasana. That continuously you practice, thereby the samskara, that doubt-free knowledge in your mind, that knowledge becomes unforgettable, doubt-free knowledge. What happens? harati, that alone removes, snatches away for good. What does it remove? Avidya vikshepan. It removes the ignorance. It dispels ignorance. And also what? And avidya born what now? Avidya ignorance cast vikshepaha. All projections. Here vikshepaha means all erroneous perceptions are seen as separate projections. And so, the erroneous perceptions, perception of the world, perception of one's own self, all projections caused by ignorance, and it removes the ignorance and the ignorance born wrong perceptions and projections. It removes everything for good. Like what? Like the medicine. Rasayanam means the drug, the chemical. Okay, the rasayanam, the drug, the medicine removes, just as medicine removes the disease. Okay, disease for good. Rogan rasayanam iva. Just as medicine removes the disease, so does this ascertained doubt-free knowledge born of what now? Actually, knowledge which is there, nididhyasanam, that removes the ignorance and the ignorance born all projections and erroneous perceptions. That is said in the 37th verse. Now, here onwards, we are going to see the nididhyasana phalam or jnana phalam. We are going to see jnana phalam as moksha. Well, jivan muktihi, mainly jivan mukti will be discussed in the following verses till the end of the text. And in between, we'll also find some verses on videha mukti, which is gained as a result of jnanam and vidhyasanam. In between, we have started in the 40th verse only. Again, we have few more verses on vidhyasanam. We'll see that. Vivikta desha asino.
Virago vijitendriyah.
Bhavayedekamatmanam. Tamanantamananyadihi. Vivikta desha asino.
Virago vijitendriyah.
Bhavayedekamatmanam. Tamanantamananyadihi. So, he says, Bhavayet. Therefore, what Rishi says, how contemplation means continuously, constantly dwelling upon the already understood fact removes ignorance and the ignorance caused wrong perceptions and projections, like the medicine removing disease. So what should you do one now? One should be dwelling upon the nature of one's own self. Therefore, that is said in the next verse. 38th verse says, 38th verse emphasizes one should be contemplative. But Bhavayet means what? Bhavayati means meditates, contemplates. Bhavayet, may one contemplate. Bhavayet, what one should contemplate on? If one is contemplation itself implies what? One is dwelling upon one's own sorupam. If one, may one meditate on means what now? One can meditate on anything other than oneself. Anything, it need not be one's own self, but only one thing. May one contemplate means, may one place one's attention on. What is one thing? That's the meaning. The similarity in, what is the meaning here? Meditation and contemplation, both, may one focus one's attention on one thing. Till then, the meaning is the same. Between meditation and contemplation, there's no difference. But what is that one thing one should focus one's attention on? If that is anything other than the self, it is meditation. That one thing on which one's attention should be focused on is one's own nature, one's own swarupam, that is contemplation. So in meditation and contemplation, attention is focused on one thing. Ekam bhavayati. So, ekam bhavayet. May one focus on attention on one thing. What is the one thing? Atma or anatma? Anything other than the atma means meditation. But what is the attention focus on his self? It is contemplation. Over here he says, may one contemplate on what now? Ekam atma, only the self. What is atma? Atma is the nature of one's own self, myself. the all-pervasive reality obtaining in one's own mind as one's own nature is Atma here. So may one dwell upon one's own Swarupam. Atmanam ekam bhavayet. Which Atmanam? Tam Atmanam. Which tam means what? No, that the Atma which is that Paramatma, that Brahman. So focus only on own Swarupam, the all-pervasive reality obtaining in one's own mind as one's own real nature. That is what is implied by tam. Tam means anantam. Tam anantam, that limitless reality, all-pervasive reality obtaining in one's own mind as one's own nature, may one focus one's attention on. How ananya dhihi. Ananya dhihi means what now? Ananya dhihi means without his attention being withdrawn from everything else. Okay, may one focus one's attention on this means attention should have been withdrawn from everything else. So ananya dehi implies having one's attention withdrawn from everything else. Without, for him nothing should exist. Okay, ananya dehi implies one having one attention withdrawn from everything else. May one focus on attention on that all-pervasive, limitless reality obtaining in one's own mind as one's own self, one's own nature. Okay? And how? He says, Vijita Indriyaha. If a person has to be Ananya Dihi, if Ananya Dihi means, Anya Dihi means, one who attention is drawn by something else is called Anya Dihi. One who attention is drawn, not drawn by anything else, is called Ananya Dihi. Therefore, one who attention is not drawn by anything else, thereby with the attention is available only for, attention is drawn only by Swarupam of the Atma means, for one to be like that, he must have what now? He must have perfect mastery over his mind and senses. It's called Vijita Indriyaha. Vijita Indriha means one who has mastery over mind and senses. Having mastery over mind and senses means what? The sense objects are no more attractive for this person. Because of his dispassion towards the sense objects, because he knows the limitations of sense objects, therefore, they are no more attractive. Because they are no more attractive, because of the limitations, they are not able to tempt this person through the senses. Therefore, even though the sense organs report the existence of sense objects outside, this person's attention is not doesn't go there. Therefore, that's called having mastery over senses and the mind. Okay, Vijita Indriyaha, one who has mastery over his mind and senses. It's called Vijita Indriyaha. How is it possible for him to have mastery over senses and mind? Because of his dispassion, Viragaha. If dispassion is still there for the worldly objects, then senses can still drag his attention towards the sense objects. The sense organs are not able to drag his attention towards the sense objects anymore because he knows the limitations of sense objects. Come on, whatever object is reported to him by any of his sense organ, no object really can draw his attention. Why? Because he is completely dispassionate. Viragaha. Why he is dispassionate? Because he knows the limitations of those objects. it's knowledge of the limitations and knowledge of the nature that everything in the world is subject to time, subject to space. There's nothing in the world has independent existence. Nothing in the world is permanent. This viveka, this knowledge of the limitations of the world and the worldly objects really helped him to have dispassion towards them. And therefore, he is also what has mastery over his senses. Dispassion helps one have perfect mastery over senses and the mind. And dispassion is born of what is viveka. Viveka is not said here, is understood. This person has viveka, that he knows the limitations of the worldly objects, that they cannot give him what he wants. Thereby, naturally, he has dispassion towards them. That dispassion helps him mastery over the senses and the minds. Therefore, attention is not scattered. Ananyadehi may what now? Unscattered. The person of unscattered attention, non-distracted attention, is called Ananyadehi. And therefore, such person, as Vivikta Desha Asinaha. Vivikta Desha Asinaha means not that you should keep yourself aloof from everything and you hate the crowd and all that. No, does not mean that. The person naturally, the person who is interested in jnanam and moksha will not be naturally interested in the crowds, which is, because the whole world, the crowds means the people, and people, all the people, wherever people gather, and wherever things, the crowd is there, they are of different levels. They are not mukshus, they are not jigyasus. Naturally, they do not have purushartha nischaya. They are not bad people or wrong people. They do not have viveka, that's all. Therefore, not having viveka does not mean wrong, okay, being wrong. They are not, therefore, naturally, the interest will be in different things. Therefore, it's better not to be in the crowd, people you know who are interested in so many things. So Vivikta Desha Asinaha means remaining alone in a quiet place. That's what he means. That doesn't mean they should not go and join, mix with the people or something. Vivikta Desha Asinaha, remaining in a quiet, secluded place where you are not disturbed. Okay? Now you should hate it. It's a conducive atmosphere. Keeping oneself in a conducive atmosphere as a dispassionate minded, as the one having mastery over senses, as the one who is of the unscattered, undistracted attention, may one dwell upon the Swarupam of that limitless all-pervasive reality as one's own Swarupam in one's own mind. Why one should do that? This vichara. So this God, how the vichara, the Swarupa vichara, or this contemplation actually, is he saying how one should contemplate upon self. And for which the contemplation, why in the first he said benefit of contemplation, he said contemplation will result in the ascertainment of knowledge which will remove the ignorance and ignorance caused erroneous perceptions and projections, like the medicine removing diseases. Therefore one should meditate. And how should he meditate? What should he contemplate on? One's own sorupam. How? With the focused attention. What does it mean? With having undistracted attention or scant attention. How? As the vijitendriha, viragaha, vivikta desha asinaha, remaining in a secluded, quiet place, okay, may one contemplate on one's own sorupam. This is also on how one should contemplate, also said in the 38th verse. Now, 39th verse. With this, the contemplation, the top quote, Atmanye Vakhilam Drishyam. Pravilapya Dhiya Sudhihi. Bhavaye Dekam Atmanam. Nirmalakashavat Sada.
Nirmalakashavat Sada.
Again, he's repeating, continuing the same thing. Sada bhavaye, always want, first he said nirantara, now he says sada. Sada bhavaye, may one always contemplate on, dwell upon, focus his attention on what? One's own swarupam, the all pervasive reality obtaining as one's own swarupam. As nature of the I. And how, what is it, how he says, Nirmala Akashavat. Nirmala Akashavat. Nirmala Akashavat, how the clouds are there in the sky, but still no cloud can touch the space sky. The sky is ever pure from the impurities or the color or anything. Like that, Nirmala Akasha means just as the sky is free from the untainted, untouched by the clouds, so also this, the seeming, okay, like that, the Atma, the all-pervasive reality, the consciousness, all which is free from all these objects, and may one meditate upon on son swarupam, which is like the pure sky. Now, and when he dwells upon, what is he, how should he dwell upon again? He says, while enquiry, when he is enquiring into the nature of the reality, Atman Yeva Akhilam Drishyam Pravilapya. Akhilam Drishyam, the beautiful word, okay? Drishya means object of perception. Akhilam Drishyam means what? The entire universe which is object of perception. The entire universe is object of perception. So resolving this entire our objective world, entire world of perception, object of world, the object of perception, Akhilam Drishyam, Pravilapya, having resolved. Pravilapya means what now? Having resolved. Having resolved the entire world of perception, object of world, the object of perception, resolved, what, where should dissolve the universe? Atmani eva, in one's, in all pervasive reality, obtaining in one's own mind as one's own nature. In consciousness, the real swarupam of I, in it Atma, having resolved this entire world of object, of the objective world, object of perception, in one's own self. What does it mean? For him, he is perceiving the world, relatively he is seeing the duality. I am different, the universe is different. Of course, I am the perceiver, I am perceiving this world. I am the perceiver. This universe is perceived by me. Therefore, I and this division, I am this, I am this. The division he sees the difference. And thereby, because he sees this duality, I am and this, and he also sees the plurality there. Not only this, that, everything. Therefore, in seeing the duality, the plurality, the diversity is also he's seeing. He does not deny his perception of duality or plurality. He accepts them, but still in understanding the duality and the diversity, the plurality, only relatively real. Mithya. I'm not denying my perception of duality because that is based on my experience. In waking state, I have this experience. I experience this world only in the waking state. When I experience this world, naturally there is duality. There is I am, there is this. And I also see the plurality, there's no doubt. Therefore, but this experience of mine is only relatively real. I'm not denying the experience. Dvaita anubhavam, I do not deny the dual experience or experience of multiplicity or plurality, but I understand this experience born based knowledge is what now? It's only relatively real. Relatively real. Why? Because cognitively this experience itself doesn't have independent experience, independent existence, and is therefore the universe which is experienced also does not have independent experience. Therefore what? Therefore when you have, they do not have independent experienced universe, Drishya Prapanchaha does not have independent existence. And the means of knowledge, the mind and senses do not have independent experience, existence. Therefore, the very experience does not have independent existence. Therefore, all of them do not have independent existence means they have existence depending upon what? That is Atma. Therefore, the consciousness, the all-pervasive reality. Therefore, they do not have independent existence means they all have existence depending upon the existence of the Atma, means they're all as good as the effect only. Atma is as good as the cause. Therefore, I say the effect is nothing but the cause. When I see the pot, name and form has no independent existence without the clay, and similarly, this Drishya Prapancha also has no independent existence. Therefore, my experience of duality is relatively real. This perceived universe also is relatively real. Therefore, but what is absolutely real is Atma. Why? Because Atma is always there, independent of the universe. Therefore, what I say, this whole universe is nothing but Atma. I am this whole universe. The whole universe is the self. The all-pervasive reality. In this understanding, it's called Pravilapanam. Pravilapya. Having resolved this universe in one's own self, how do you resolve? Absolutely non-dual self alone is real. Non-duality of the reality is absolute. Atma is real. Absolutely real. But the duality, the perception of duality is what? Only relatively real. Therefore, the whole prapancha, resolving this universe in one's own self, one's own real nature, the consciousness. How do you resolve? Not physically. Dhiya. Dhiya means what? Cognitively. Intellectually. Buddhya. By reasoning. By reasoning, through cognitively, intellectually, having resolved this entire world of objective world, the world of world, the object of perception, resolving it into the consciousness, the one's own self, real nature, then one sees Atma alone being pure. Nirmala Akashavat Sada Atmanam Bhavayet. May one see one's own, dwell upon one's own Swarupam being pure consciousness, which is untainted, untouched by the Jagat. Jagat, you do not say Jagat is not there at all. No, I do to see the Jagat. I do see the duality, but they are only relatively real. Jagat is Vyavaharika Satyam. The perception is Vyavaharika Satyam. Duality is Vyavaharika Satyam, relative reality. Empirically real. But at the same time, the whole Prapancha is nothing but Atma only. This cognitively resolving the prapancha in Atma Swarupam, and may one see that Atma Swarupam being untainted, untouched, remaining like the space, always. So, this is how one has to see. That's why I said, it is not mystic experience. Okay, resolving the universe in Paramatma is not a mystic experience. It is not an experience at all. It's just the jnanam. When you resolve the wave in the old water, it is not a mystic experience, it is not a new experience. You are neither experiencing the water, nor are you experiencing the, nothing is experienced newly. You are already experiencing water, you are already experiencing the wave. All that you do is what? You take the wave for real, which is wrong perception, born of ignorance of the water. But when you know the water, you are resolving the wave in the water. It is not a new experience. And therefore, similarly, you do not, you see the reality, Atma, but you are already experiencing the Atma. Because what? How do you experience? You are experiencing the Atma in the form of the experience of the universe. Experiencing the universe, you are already experiencing Atma. You cannot be given a new, one more experience cannot be given to you. There is no new more experience. No more experience is required for you. Experience is already there. Jnanam alone is missing. Therefore, in Jnanam, in this Jnanam you get through Shravanam Mananam, but you make this Jnanam unforgettable and ascertained, doubt-free, by Nidhyasana, by constantly dwelling upon that understanding. Okay? And then for which he says, and when you see Swarupam being Atma also, what you see, the nature of the reality. Yes, is there a Jagat, this vichara you can do only when you understand, is there a Jagat which has independent existence other than me being there? If you are not there, where is the perception? You had to be manifest as I, you know. Then when manifestation is there, only then the Jagat is. You are, therefore the Jagat is. You can't say you see the Jagat, you perceive the Jagat because you are there. You can't say you are perceiving Jagat because Jagat is there. Are you perceiving the Jagat because Jagat is there? Or are you perceiving Jagat because you are there? You are, therefore you see the universe. Don't ever say, I see the universe because the universe is. No. There's no universe without you being there. And who are you? The whole universe is you. Who are you? If you are Paramatma, you are consciousness, you are none other than consciousness. And the whole Jagat is you. Therefore, the whole Jagat is consciousness. This is called cognitive resolution. This is called dhiya pravilapanam. Therefore, sudhi he means the wise person having resolved the prapancha, not mechanically saying, oh, there's no universe at all. I don't see any universe. You see, you don't need to foolishly talk like that. We have to say, I do see the universe, I do feel hungry, I do feel sleepy, I do feel thirsty, You have to say that, but it's all relative. You should know that. That is what Swamiji always says. Somebody says, oh, because of my jnanam, I don't feel hungry, I don't feel comfortable. Come and tell all this nonsense. Then don't give him bhiksha at all, Swamiji says. Don't give him, when he's thirsty, don't give him water. How the all relative, isn't it? There must be all the whole prapancha must be there, everything will be there in following its own dharma. You are not removing anything, you cannot remove anything. Because everything is you. For you to remove the hunger, remove the thirst, remove anything to change something, something will be different from you. You can remove something when something is different from you, away from you. That's why anything natural is already you. The hunger is you, thirst is you. You cannot appease the, you cannot undo the hunger, you cannot undo the thirst. Because everything is your own manifestation. It's like if you're like water trying to undo the wave. Nothing can be, that's why nothing can be removed, nothing needs to be removed. All that you need to do is, everything is, you have to understand that how wave is, what you understand. A thirst is Atma, hunger is Atma, all the manifestations are Atma, Jagat is Atma, nothing needs to be removed here. Everything has to be understood as it is, but cognitively you have to say all of them are as though, all of them are Mithya. What is Satyam is myself, the Atma, the consciousness. Without me, there is no prapancha. You have to think this very well. That is why the knowledge I has to be there first for the Jagat to be there. You can never say, no, I did not know I was, but I knew the Jagat was. You can never say that. Therefore, this is called what now? Akhilam Drishyam Dhiya Pravilapya. Having resolved the whole prapancha cognitively in one's own Swarupam, the wise person seeing one's own Swarupam being consciousness which is completely untouched, untainted by the Drishya Prapancha, the world of plurality, like the untainted, ever the pure, blemish free, the pure space. Okay, so with this, the verses are, let me tell you, with this the verse 39th verse, the Nidhyasanam part is over. Okay, what to meditate on, what to contemplate on, first was said, and Brahma Swarupam was revealed in some verses, and how one should dwell upon one's own Swarupam also has been said here. Nidhyasanam Panditya has been said here. Having done that, now 40th verse onwards, I said, the jnana phalam, the benefit of this knowledge, is given mukti. In Vidhe Mukti, we discussed throughout the whole of the text, following verses. Okay.
Namadah
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti.